Art is music, and music is art. We welcome to the show today Mark Kramer, professor of the clarinet at Tennessee Tech University. It's good to see you, Mark.
Thanks for having me.
You and I have been colleagues now. Well, I guess we've always been colleagues for years, but we've been specifically colleagues in the School of Music for the last 2 years.
That's correct.
So we see each other in the hallway. But I was so glad you were available to talk today. I really just want to talk about your background as a performer, as well as an educator. You know, it's those are two things that just seem to go so nicely together.
Absolutely.
So how did you find your way to music?
Well, I started, like, typical story, sixth grade band, Rockford, Michigan, which is a suburb of Grand Rapids.
Okay.
And the reason I chose the clarinet, I was actually fitted to a lot of different instruments, and they all worked for me. I have the dental configuration, and I can play anything,
right,
as they thought. So we had access to a free clarinet that a family friend had just sitting in a closet. So that's kind of,
yeah,
you know, my parents didn't want to invest a lot of money in the beginning just because they didn't know if I'd stick with it.
Sure.
So I started with that, and I picked it up really quickly, and it got pretty good pretty fast. And I got went all the way through high school with that, and then I went off to conservatory for my undergrad. It's a small, it's actually the oldest school of music in the country, called the Oberlin Conservatory.
Okay.
And it is known for not only its great music school, but it's also got a lot of a very strong background in diversity and inclusion.
Uh-huh.
It was the first school to admit African Americans and women.
Mm-hmm.
It was founded in around 1832, 33, something like that. So it's.
And where's Oberlin?
It's just about 40 minutes southwest of Cleveland, Ohio.
Okay.
Yep. So I was there for 4 years, had some amazing opportunities, and then went off, did my master's degree at the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor.
Mm-hmm.
And then I took a little time off, did some soul searching, worked at Olive Garden, taught in high schools, just clarinet lessons, did kind of this and that and gigging. And then I decided that college teaching is where I needed to go next.
It's where it's at.
Yep, that's where it's at. And so that's where we have a mutual connection of,
sure,
UNC Greensboro. So
yeah,
I lived in Greensboro, and I did my doctorate there, and I stuck around for a few years until I landed this job here in Cookeville.
That's fantastic. Yeah, Greensboro is a great place.
It's a great place.
It's the campus. It amazes me to see pictures of it now because, I mean, I was there from, let's see, 1986 to 88.
Okay.
And I just can't even, I mean, the place has changed so much. It's so much bigger, and, you know, it didn't feel like a big university then.
No. Well, and it's changed a lot in the 8 or so years since I moved here.
Right.
And also the other smaller communities, well, not really small, like Winston-Salem and High Point, mm-hmm, they're also just exploding.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, a great place to live and
oh, I've always, yeah, I've always loved North Carolina. I really do. I just think it's a fantastic place. So, yeah, as an artist, as a musician, I imagine you have gotten to play some pretty cool places in your career.
Yeah,
what
absolutely.
Where are some of the places that you never imagined you would have been playing?
Well, I just got back from Iceland on Friday.
Wow!
So that was really great opportunity. I've also I played in Ireland last summer. I'm hoping to get accepted to a conference in Incheon, North Korea. Oh my gosh. South Korea. No, we're not going to North Korea. I don't think the university would fund that one. We're going to South Korea hopefully next year.
Wow.
And premiering some works. And I made my Carnegie Hall debut when I was 14 or 15.
Did you?
So I've got, you know, to play in all over the United States, Disney Hall and up in Seattle and just kind of all over the country. And then, of course, I play quite frequently with the Nashville Symphony. So, mm-hmm, I play the Skirmer Horn as well as the Tennessee Theater,
which
with,
is just
with
stunning.
Knoxville Symphony. It's a beautiful place.
I just went there a couple months ago with my son. I got tickets to go see the Black Star Symphony, the David Bowie.
Oh, yeah.
Where they do, and we both just walked in.
Yeah.
Like, how is this? This is such an amazing place.
Yeah. No, they, and I got to give Nashville a lot of credit, but their programming is really, really great.
Oh, and such cool stuff.
I've gotten to do several really neat things. I think my highlight of all things that I've played with them was with Pink Floyd.
Oh, wow.
And it was really a spectacle because it was, you know, the lighting and the fog machines and all that. And then just, you know, getting to play in a style and a genre that I'm not necessarily trained in. And it was really, really, really great.
That's really cool. Okay, we're going to take a short break. But when we come back, Mark, I want to talk a little bit more about your work in education. It's such a challenge being a college professor. I want to hear a little bit about your take on it. So we'll be right back with Mark Kreider. Mark Kreider. I'm Mark Kreider. We'll be right back with Mark Kramer. I knew I was going to do that.
Kreider and Kramer.
It's very close. We'll be right back with Mark Kramer, Dr. Mark Kramer, who is a clarinet professor at Tennessee Tech University. And we're back with Mark Kramer, the clarinet professor from TTU. So how long have you been teaching college? You said you taught high school for a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. I would say if you want to count my doctoral assistantship about 13 years or something like that.
Yeah.
I started when I was 25. So
that's amazing. You know, you're so much younger than I am. It's just, it's this is my 33rd year.
Wow.
Just a tech. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. Well,
so
it's a good place to live.
It is.
It really
is. Cookeville takes pretty good care of us, I think.
I agree.
So what is it like working with students who are pursuing this love of playing music?
Well, it's thrilling for sure in a lot of ways, good and bad. you know, being at Tennessee Tech, and we're working with students who are often first-generation college students or first-generation American, maybe didn't have quite the same opportunities that I had. So I'm having to teach students coming from a very different perspective.
Mm-hmm.
I am a first-generation college student and was really fortunate to have parents who were able to, you know, get me, even if they didn't know where I needed to go or who I needed to be studying with. They had avenues of getting me in contact with the right people.
Right.
So it's a large, there's quite a bit of, learning, a high, long learning curve, I guess, with dealing with some of these students.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I love the most about teaching at a school like Tech is I feel like my imprint on the student might be larger than if I were maybe at a very large, like a Big Ten school or something like that.
Sure.
Because we're really training the full individual. They're not as fully cooked when they come to Tech, and they're really starting from maybe a little bit more of a, less well-versed background.
Right. Right. And I think at Tech too, the fact that you were talking about, you know, not, you know, thousands of students. I know Tech would love us to have it, but the fact that we can individualize more with the students that we're working with would seem to me, in music particularly, to be a real plus.
Absolutely. Most of my teaching is done one-on-one in my office.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to format my lessons a little bit differently. A lot of my students, some of them come from very supportive backgrounds, and they're ready to go with college. Some of them, their first lessons that they've ever had are with me as a college student. And so the way I format my clarinet lessons is we split it up into two 30-minute lessons.
Okay.
And my rule in the studio is you can't have 2 days in a row of lessons. If you have a Monday lesson, you can't have another one until Wednesday.
Okay.
And we do one 30-minute lesson that's going to be like technique, scales, warm-up, kind of etudes, things like that. And then the next class or lesson, whatever you want to call it, we do repertoire, orchestral excerpts, solo pieces, sonatas, things like that.
Right.
And it's really good because, one, the student schedules are so crazy packed. It's easier to find a 30-minute slot than an hour.
Yeah, I would think so.
And then also having this designated, Monday is your technique lesson. This is what we have to work on. It helps keep the student on track.
Right, right. And do you find that the majority of your students continue to work and rehearse outside of the lessons?
Absolutely. I think that comes with students who are super, super passionate,
mm-hmm.
and their hobby is going to be their profession. It's kind of You know, I run into the same issue. Like, I don't know how to turn myself off and to put work away or performing away and just like be a person.
Right.
And I think in college, that is also true, probably even worse.
Well, and, you know, they are surrounded by, you know, all of their peers, even if they're playing different instruments, probably often have that same kind of focus.
Absolutely. And I think they're actually probably learning more from each other and that built-in kind of competition. We try to keep it healthy at Tech. It's not toxic by any means. You hear horrible horror stories at Juilliard and things like that.
Right.
But I definitely, I think they learn a lot more from kind of competing with each other, and hopefully I can help guide them where they need to go.
That's great. I imagine the question of, and this is something to think about because we're going to take a short break, but when we come back, this question of what are they going to do? You know, we constantly are faced with, as college professors, you know, preparing them for life outside of college. And I know in theater, we're faced with that question all the time. What are they going to do? And so let's talk a little bit about that when we come back. Once again, I'm talking with Mark Kramer. He is the clarinet professor at Tennessee Tech University, as well as a seasoned performer. And we're going to come back in just a minute. So, Mark, when you're working with students who are studying music and they're passionate about it and they love playing it, but what do you tell them when they say, you know, particularly, I mean, a lot of times people do go into teaching, but what are they often looking at doing with their lives outside of college?
Well, I think one of the beauties of our profession is it's changed a ton since even when I was just starting out, really, and being in that conservatory track, I was kind of had a kind of a one track mind as far as like, it's going to be orchestra for me. That's all I can do. That's the line to success. And luckily it's expanded so much. And so a lot of my students have aspirations of the orchestral track, but also college teaching, a lot of high school and middle school teaching. I would say about 90% of my students are in music education.
Okay.
We also have launched a new degree at Tech called Live Audio Engineering.
Right.
So
that's a hot up-and-comer for sure.
Absolutely. And with it being live sound and portable sound, it's made it quite an attractive track because no one else has that degree, which is really, really great. So it's not just geared towards like recording studio work, like where we are right now. Right? which is really great. Cause honestly, I mean, in Cookeville, you know, Cookeville, there's a church on every corner and even that and next door. So they need audio engineers.
Right.
And so that's been a really great thing. We also have a Bachelor of Science in music. So the students can still be really involved in music, but then go off into other avenues like music therapy. I have a student actually that was just accepted into occupational therapy school.
Okay.
And then being so near Nashville and with the work that I do as a recording artist, a lot of my students are interested in studio recording work as well. So I perform with the Nashville Scoring Orchestra. The main studio I play in is called Ocean Way. It's owned by Belmont University.
Oh, okay.
And we do a lot of movie soundtracks, tons of video games, anime, Disney World, things like that.
So you've done a lot of recording work.
A lot of, yes.
That's so fascinating.
Yeah, you probably heard me in your living room. I've done a lot of things that are pretty mainstream.
Yeah.
Some of it I can't talk about, but some of it I can't talk about until it comes out. So
I completely understand, but that is so cool. And it must be nice that we're just down the road from Nashville. It's not
absolutely.
You know, it's not that grueling a drive. Are there other places in Tennessee, Chattanooga, Knoxville, whatever that you've recorded?
Recorded, but I've played with Chattanooga and Knoxville Symphony as well as the Oak Ridge Symphony. I'm their principal clarinetist. Yeah. And then I do just odds and ends kind of gigs here and there all over town, all over the state, or really even the region. So
I think that's one of the things that's so positive about the program at Tennessee Tech is that I noticed since being in the School of Music how much all of you are encouraged to continue playing, to continue to grow, develop professionally while also maintaining your work as educators.
Absolutely.
I think it's setting a great example for the students that they can see, look at all these things. You know, look at what Dr. Kramer is doing mm-hmm. when he's not in the classroom.
Yeah, it helps me put my money where my mouth is a little bit. They'll take my advice because I'm actually doing the thing.
Yeah,
and it's really great that we have the support of the admin to do things like that. And also, we're just super fortunate to be close to a lot of performing opportunities. I've got colleagues at other universities that, you know, maybe it's a high profile university, but it's kind of in the middle of nowhere. So they actually don't get to perform very often. And I'm doing it weekly,
all the time.
Yeah.
So in our last few minutes, what do you have? What's coming up, Mark?
Let's see. The next big-ish thing is my annual faculty recital.
Okay.
That's September 18th.
All right.
I have Nashville Opera. We're actually doing Stephen King's The Shining.
Really?
And I heard Stephen King is coming.
I'm going to have to come see that.
So you got to see that.
The only time I've ever seen Stephen King was in Nashville.
Oh, yeah.
When he was promoting a book many years ago.
Yep. I believe it's October 9th and 11th.
Okay.
So that'll be coming up. And then, of course, we've got lots of Brian Symphony events. And
tons.
Then lots of different various recording sessions and symphony gigs and things like
great.
That.
Well, yeah. Mark, it has been an absolute pleasure talking with you. It's so nice. You know, we run into you. You're definitely one of the smiling faces at the School of Music, although there's so many. They're the nicest group of people. But it was just great talking with you today. And absolutely best of luck with your professional life, as well as, you know, we're about to get back in the classroom again.
You know it.
Before you know it. Once again, I was talking with Dr. Mark Kramer, who is the clarinet professor at Tennessee Tech University. And thank you again, Mark.
Thank you much.
Boom.